listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage podcast. This is the podcast where I have a chance to talk with you on a weekly basis about ways you can save your relationship. In the last few weeks, I've been including some guests, people on my team, people who are here as coaches who have some great information to share with you. And today I get to continue that. Annette Carpian is with me. Annette has been one of my coaches since the very beginning. And one of the things that Annette talks about is the fact that every relationship has those tough points. She talks about how she actually shifted her relationship from a place of being stuck to one that she refers to as being juicy, and she shares some ways she did that with you. So I hope you enjoy this interview as I jump in with a great time with one of my coaches, Annette Carpian. Annette, thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited to have you. I always love having a conversation with my coaches, and you have been with me a while, so it's exciting to be having another conversation with you. I'm always curious on how people got into coaching. It's kind of what brought you to that place. So, Annette, share some about how you came to be here, both as a coach and on my team.
So my husband and I have been married now 45 years, and those first 20 were not easy at all. You know, like most couples, we had lots and lots of struggles. And I remember at one point feeling like, is this all there is? Like, where's the spark? You know, like, is it all? It just felt very transactional. You know, of course, raising kids, money issues, commuting, jobs, you know, all that gets in the way, and couples tend to get disconnected. And that is certainly what happened. And I noticed that I was getting attracted elsewhere. Like when somebody at work would flirt, you know, like I would start feeling that, you know, that spark. And I happened to take a workshop at the time, like a personal growth workshop. And there were some powerful questions in there. Like, you know, what would be the most incredible life you would want? You know, there would, what could you do to help attain that? And when I heard those powerful questions, something really clicked in me. Like, what could I do? Like, I realized that I had fallen somewhat into a victim role. Not that there was anything so bad in my marriage. It wasn't at all. But there was a sense of, well, what's he doing to make me feel loved and appreciated? What's he doing? You know, that kind of sort of blame-oriented. And all of a sudden, I had like a smack in the head. Oh my God, I've been living like a victim. Like I have no power in this. And I found a coach. Coaching was very new back then, but somebody had told me about something that they had gotten out of coaching. And I said, I want that. And it really sparked something for me about what could be possible. You know, powerful questions do something, like they evoke something powerful in you. So I found a coach, and one of many things. I felt stuck in many ways in my life, but also in my marriage. And so I said, I don't want to be fooling around. I don't want to let my, you know, marriage just get disentangled and disconnected. And we talked about it, and I realized that I had power in this, power to evoke what I wanted. And it had such an amazing effect, what I did, that my husband loved every minute of it. And he changed enormously, you know, new appreciation and my new connection with him. You know, focusing on what I loved and not on what was wrong. Whereas, you know, the things that were wrong were like this big, and, you know, the good was like this big. It had been, that's the way it had been. And I shifted that, you know, with help from my coach. And it made an enormous difference. And we set out, it just started changing the dynamics between us. And now, more than 25 years after that, you know, our marriage has just gotten better and better. And I like to call it juicy. You know, it's juicy, it's connected, it's alive. That's not to say we don't have struggles. You know, not to say that stuff doesn't come up. Absolutely it does. But we know what we want is to have that juicy, loving marriage. We're really clear about that. So we can now, where something that was an upset before, can now we can, that would take us days on days of bad feeling. Now in 5 or 10 minutes, well, maybe that's an exaggeration, maybe an hour, you know, and more like I tend to want to go for a walk. I want to let some of the upset go. I want to process it in myself, whereas he wants to talk about it right now. And I know that that won't be that productive when there's so much intensity and energy. So anyhow, so our marriage has turned around, and, you know, now at 45 years, we're doing, you know, phenomenally well. And I got the power of coaching. And I said, that's what I, you know, I got really clear that that's what my, you know, what I wanted. I'm a stand for people having joy and to thrive in life and in love. That's really my stand and what gives me energy and what my purpose is. So that's what I bring to my coaching. When I really got that, you know, so I trained as a coach and as a marriage coach, you know, with you. And I love it.
And not just with me. You came to me already coaching and already fully mm-hmm. trained. So all I did was add my set of tools, or you did was add my set of tools. So, Annette, we could talk about what you just went through as kind of a roadmap for both coaching and some understandings of marriage. So I'm just going to highlight some things you said almost in passing. Mm-hmm. You said them, and I want to unpack them just a little bit. One of the things you said is the power of questions. And a lot of times people come to coaches for answers. And I think sometimes people are surprised that the real power of coaching, there is obviously some information. Obviously coaches have done training and carry a wealth of knowledge, but there is such power in the questions that a coach can ask. I think a lot of people are looking to coaches more as a consultant, you know, give me this piece of knowledge. And I love it when people are able to see that the questions are what make the changes. Mm-hmm. And so you noted that place that the powerful questions were what turned you around. And I think that's so important for people to really get a feel that the power of coaching is in the questions. So let me just kind of continue on a little bit, because you just said so much. One of the things I really liked is the fact that you noted you realized the role you were playing. You talked about the kind of that victim mentality that had happened of you asking the question, what am I getting out of this? Why am I not getting what I want out of this? And that part of the shift was away from that role. And then you tied it to something even more powerful. I mean, that victim role is such an important thing. I always talk about the fact that an argument is just two people dueling out to see who the bigger victim is. It's a race to the bigger victim. And so the other piece that you said about that is that you made the shift, not you made your husband make a shift, not we had to make a shift together, but you made the shift. And so if I could just kind of re-quote, not exactly quote, but here's paraphrase. One person can evoke something different. Mm-hmm. That was your power, that you realized in the coaching that you were playing a role and that you could change that role. And I think that's such an important part, because so many people come to us with a spouse who doesn't see there's a problem, or really doesn't have the energy to tackle it, doesn't have a desire to tackle it, or is given up. And your note is that's okay, that you can begin dancing different steps yourself. So let me also bring in another very important piece of what you noted, and that is that in even the best marriages, there are issues that no marriage is free of issues. When we're talking about these points of contact, there's so much intimacy that the points of contact are going to be friction points. We're going to stumble over each other. There's no way around that. And because of that, we have to figure out how to deal with those issues. So Annette, you talked a little bit about your role as a coach as you came into that. Talk a little bit more specifically about how you see your role as a coach with couples in the midst of, or a person that's in the midst of a marriage crisis.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hold the possibility that they could have a thriving, not just a coping marriage. And I ask them if they would like either the one person I'm working with or both of them, if they would like me to hold that for them as a possibility. And, you know, they often say yes. And so I'm not neutral about their marriage, whether they should stay together, you know, assuming there's not, you know, addiction and, you know, those kinds of really harmful and abuse and that. But assuming they are dealing with, you know, the realities of life and marriage and, how tough it can be, that I'm not neutral, that, well, maybe you should just say goodbye and give up. No, I put I'm willing to stand with them to have breakthroughs. And it's only when they decide, you know what, we realize this is not going to work, you know, then perhaps. So I always take the lead from the couple, but I'm a stand for them to not just cope, though, but to thrive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that I think is unique to not unique just to us, but more unique to us than a lot of others. There are a lot of people, therapists and coaches, who claim to be neutral about what happens in the marriage, and I don't believe that that's not the stance of any of my coaches. We are all pro marriage, and our first stance is to not just to limp it along, but to really make it a powerful, as you said, a juicy relationship, something that they both treasure. And so I love the fact that you highlight that that's a starting point for you. I also love the fact that you note that you sometimes are the holder of hope when people are at that point. They need somebody to say, no, I see what can come from this, because they often can't. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes people aren't coming to us because they hope to have a great marriage. They just don't want to have a divorce. And you're one step beyond that of saying, no, this can be a powerful thing. You can have a thriving relationship. And I agree with you, barring your abuse issues, that is the beginning point to say, yes, this can be something that can be rebuilt. Which leads me to wonder, what's your favorite part of being a coach?
Mm-hmm. Seeing the growth. You know, when couples are caught up in their patterns, and it seems pretty hopeless, but, you know, for each one to take some ownership, oh, yeah, I have that pattern. And what would be possible if you were able to shift that pattern? Well, everything would change, you know? And when they can start owning their patterns, and everybody has them until we learn how to, you know, outgrow them or have some tools to stop doing the destructive things we've been doing. Until we start, I mean, it's part of being human to have patterns that just aren't working. And so when they get, usually the focus in a couple is on the other person, on what the other person is doing wrong. And when they look at ownership, like, oh, I have a role in this. Ah, what can I bring to this then, you know, things really start happening really wonderfully. It takes ownership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always thought of that shift for me is the lights off, lights on thing, you know, when I'm working with a client and they go, oh, I see what you're saying. The lights come on. And the important thing as a coach, that's you know, you realize you're now at a place to start seeing some change. Mm-hmm. And for you, that is them saying, oh, I see my role. I see how my actions have created part of where we are. And that is, for me, that points to the beginning point. And yet, I think every coach loves that thing where you see them come alive and the lights come on. Not necessarily that the furnace has come on yet, but the lights have come on. And from there, you can begin moving forward. So I'm wondering, as you think about that, what would be the kind of the ingredients for your ideal client? Who do you most like to work with? Obviously, you work with many people across many different spectrums. But really, when you think about the ones that you really key in on, what's your ideal client?
I'm kind of astounded that I would claim this. But couples who want to heal from affairs when they both want to, because that, you know, that takes ownership. They want to work towards that. And I can see the qualities that will help them succeed in that. And, you know, there's, of course, a path for that. You know, an understanding that there's grieving that goes on. There's, you know, there's anger, you know, that the betrayed, I'll call them, but I don't want to set them up as victim. But, you know, there are normal stages. But healing from affairs has gone very well. But I understand that it's going to take something because people have to go through the stages. But, you know, I've had some pretty good outcomes from that.
And, you know, the interesting thing is that's one of those that a lot of people would say, well, that you can't recover from that. And what you're saying is you actually can recover from that. And my experience is not only can you recover, but you can have a stronger marriage. So at what stage do you find that for you to be the time for you to intervene? Is it after they've had a chance to get through it, or are you one who walks with them through the whole through the whole process?
Well, of course, it depends on when they approach, you know, when they find Save the Marriage, you know, because they could be in various stages. So let's just say, I'll just say it's she who found out about his affair. But of course, it could be the reverse. But I'll just use those pronouns. Mm-hmm. So when she finds out, she's going to be freaked out. She is going to be like, the upset, the feeling of being, you know, so overwhelmed with emotion and rejection and hurt is so enormous. So I can walk with, and that's a good stage actually to work alone.
Yeah.
Because at that stage, there's not a lot of productive couple work. I think she needs to move through that, like get to a point where it's not hasn't taken over her life.
You know, one of the things that I think is interesting about that that group of people, and we do see lots of people come through Save the Marriage who have had some level of infidelity in their relationship, whether it's emotional or physical, and even repeated affairs. And one of the things I often hear is this statement that they say, well, it's just so hopeless, right? And I always say, well, that's interesting you say that because here you are. if you really believe it's hopeless, I'm not sure you would be here. And so I'm reflecting back, you know, earlier on you talked about being kind of the holder of hope for a couple. And I think sometimes what you're doing, and that because I've watched and I've listened and heard about this, is that you – help them uncover the hope that they have, even mm-hmm. in these desperate situations. Somehow you're able to touch that piece and bring that out of them and let them feel what's already at least a nugget in there somewhere and bring that out. And so I know that that's one of your skills. I also know that you have a wealth of knowledge. So I'm wondering if you could offer a couple of pieces of knowledge, just some pieces of wisdom, maybe things that you find you repeatedly tell people. That's usually where our wisdom comes from, about what every couple ought to understand about this process, not about the coaching process, but about this process called marriage. What pieces of wisdom would you share about that?
Well, you know, after that their initial love drug stage, you know, the high intensity love and juiciness and all that in the beginning, they're going to move, you know, very predictably into the post-romantic stage. And they will, you know, they will get to a point where they're asking themselves, who is this person? You know, who is this person that, you know, this is not who I thought I fell in love with. And they end up in, you know, being, it becomes you versus me, my needs versus your needs. And, you know, there's not enough time, energy, money, you know, often not enough affection. There's not enough intimacy. You know, there are things that happen. And each has a valid perspective of why those things are happening, but they end up seeing themselves on opposite sides about this rather than, oh, we, you know, our marriage has this issue now. You're too tired to make love at night. You know, we don't have quite enough money for whatever. Let's see how we can resolve this rather than you versus me. So being on the same team is, I would say, the clearest, the most important thing. And it's not easy to do that. You know, when your needs are not getting met. And by the way, almost every issue that comes up is because needs are not being met. But we get so focused on our own needs that are not being met that we need to also step into our spouse's lives and what the needs of theirs are not getting met. So,
I'm just thinking about the highlight point there of the fact that it's not – if a marriage shifts away from that infatuation, chemistry, you know, I've got the hots for you stage.
Yeah.
But when? And that when also often coincides with that shift to feeling like suddenly, you know, the person's taking something away from you. They're not giving you what you need. And your statement is that's a normal piece, and that the piece that they're working towards is building something different than that. It's a new stage. And so it's not that the old stage was wrong or a mistake. It's just that stages happen. Shifts happen in life. And so part of what you're trying to do is guide them through to seeing that the danger is now stepping back and saying, you know, what are you giving to me? What's in it for me? And the shift is really to being a team, to being a we, which is a great piece for people to understand. So, and part of that process, what other pieces do you see that couples sometimes miss about that, maybe that shift?
Well, you talk about the chaos stage and the emptiness stages. And, you know, they're just for people to understand that these are sort of the norms of traversing life in a marriage or in a life together. You know, just like if you're taking a trip, like my husband and I took a trip to China and Tibet a few months ago. And, you know, along the journey, all kinds of, you know, challenges and roadblocks and difficulties are likely to happen. And just know that that's part of what happens. Yeah. So if you, forget that, oh, you know, okay, so we have moved into this chaos stage or this emptiness stage. You know, like recognize it. Okay. And it's not easy. But, you know, the other piece about this is self-knowledge and self-management, because we all have within us the capability of bringing forth the best parts of ourselves, even when we're not feeling it. Mm-hmm. So when we're feeling disconnected, rather than reacting to the other person, reacting to, you know, the needs of ours that are not getting met, that we can take a step back. Oh, what can I do about this? Oh, well, maybe I can just do some deep breathing. Maybe I can focus on my own gratitude. What do I love about my life? What do I appreciate about my husband or my wife, my spouse? What can I be doing here? You know, and just calming yourself and gaining perspective.
That's a great, you know, I'm going to stretch the analogy a little bit. You talked about your trip to China, which did sound very exciting when you were describing it. But, you know, there's often what happens, I think, is that people, your trip to China included a heck of a long flight. And I don't think anybody enjoys those flights. And yet, that kind of not fun, in my memory, having flown to India, you know, that it feels very empty. It's just, you just keep on going. And the only thing that makes you go through it is, you know, there's something on the other side. And I think one of the places that is important for people to understand is there is something really exciting and fun on the other side, but you got to take the flight. You've got to get on the plane and go through that to get there. And so to stretch your analogy, there is something over there. And I think the danger is that people just think, oh, the flight is it. You know, this that's all there is. We're stuck in flight forever. Instead of seeing flight as a way, the drudgery of that flight as a way of getting to something that really is, to again use your word, juicy and exciting and new. So, Annette, you've given us so much here and even more that we could unpack. But I'm sure there are some places that people have connected with you. And sometimes I believe that the best way of kind of saying is this what I want to do, to say what something resonated there with me. So if there's something that resonates, we're on the same resonance, we're on the same vibration, and that would be a good match. So how can people contact you if they're looking for a little bit of coaching? What would be a good way of doing that?
Well, my email address is Annette@SaveTheMarriage.com. So Annette at SaveTheMarriage.com. That's probably the best way for people to find me.
Perfect. And Annette, I know that this has been helpful for people, and I just want you to know how much I've appreciated you being on my team, really since the beginning of me having a coaching team. You've been a valuable member and are a rich source of information, and I know that if people connect with you, they will find some great coaching. And so thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you, Lee.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.